Avatar is back.
This is Appa, my flying bison.
Right. And this is Katara, my flying sister.
That's right, I'm Sokka. It's pronounced with an Akka.
My name is Toph Beifong, and I'll need 4 tickets.
My name is Zuko, Prince of the Fire Nation, and heir to the throne.
Don't flatter yourself.
You lost me at Zuko.
Zuko, you look so cute.
I can tell you're lying.
Why would I let go of Katara? I love her.
Anybody got a problem with that?
You'll have to leave now. Your lemur is harassing our sparrow keys.
Those are enemy birds.
Even that oaf knows to concentrate on what he's doing.
He does have a heart, doesn't he?
Come on!
Shuffle on. I get you.
Stay flaming. Now, check this out.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender podcast for DongWuFang.net. I'm your main host for today, Dylan, and I'm joined by several co-hosts again. And first of all, Kevin is back on our side of the podcast. Woo-hoo, yay, so yeah.
Yay!
Kevin's joining us today.
In my absence, I noticed the podcast is kind of the listen to Dylan talk about Katang hour, and it's only going to get worse, folks.
Yeah, so Kevin's here to fix that.
There's a lot of Katang coming up.
Yeah, it's for a reason, guys. Yeah, we'll get into that, though. Abby, and also joined by Abby.
Hi.
I think she's stuffing her face with cookies. And also joined by Jake.
I'm not! I said...
Hey, whoa.
And Kevin... I already said Kevin. Melanie.
Hello.
And Steph.
Oh.
Yellow.
And Steph back from a long break. And then Ruth.
That's what I said. Hello.
Greetings, yellow Avatar fan.
Oh, yes. God. Okay. So I'm pretty sure you can hear any of those intros as people are talking. But yeah, as always,
yay.
Send questions to podcast at dongwufang.net. Send us, stuff for the mailbag. You guys know the drill. And you can also subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, and our podcast page is dongwufang.net/podcast. And today's podcast, it'll be a little shorter today. We're going to start with news and views on DongWuFang and Avatar News, move to our episode discussion on nightmares and daydreams. And then we'll have another scripted impromptu, a mailbag, and then we'll close it out. So let's move on to our Avatar news. In today's DongWuFang news, come to DongWuFang Premier Chat, as always, every Friday when there's a new episode. Chat is dongwufang.net/forum/chat. And also... nothing. Oh, but yeah, we're going to have some big events coming up in DongWuFang. We're probably going to have an invasion event for the 3/10/3/11 premiere, so keep checking dongwufang.net/site1 for that, as we'll probably have a really huge event while it's airing. And coming up, we are planning... Jake is planning one of the biggest events in fandom history, so definitely keep checking back to DongWuFang for that. You don't want to miss it.
Yes.
And also, in Avatar news, the episodes haven't gone above 3.2 million for the first 8 episodes now. Still, get your friends to watch the show, especially the invasion, because...
Get your dog to watch the show.
Get your dog. Exactly.
There you go.
Stick the TV on. If you're out, stick the TV on and get your dog to watch. Yeah. So, I don't know. There has to be higher ratings for the invasion, or else... You see, there's some... If they're high in Nielsen ratings for the United States, that specifically direct affects... some things wise in Burbank, but it's like specific things that only the Nielsen ratings can do, so it has to be high for the invasion. And I'm not just talking top 20 high, I'm talking like top 5 cable shows high. I think it can be number 2, because the gap between number 2 and number 40 is like, what, 1 million? That's it? I mean, Monday Night Football always gets number 1, obviously, like 9.8 million viewers, but then Avatar can seriously come in number 2, 5 million strong, and that would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, it's possible. Everyone just has to watch, though, and Nick's probably going to be doing their part, actually. They're going to be promoting this a lot, so we can't really blame Nick, unless they don't show any commercials, but they're definitely promoting online. And
that's true.
Yeah, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other Avatar news?
No.
Okay, let's move on to our episode discussion. Yeah, new episodes are airing Fridays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time until today, or probably yesterday by the time we get it out. So yeah, this week was the last week of new episodes in a row, and the episode was Nightmares and Daydreams 309. So let's get right into it. Well, Nightmares and Daydreams was about... It was like a pre-invasion episode, and it was about Aang pretty much...
Yeah, it really
Oh,
sucked.
You had to say that. You had to say filler. Yeah.
Oh, him and Ruth are going to be going like for an hour.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Actually, I'm very sorry, but it was filler.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin.
As you will see as we get deeper into this outline, it was anything but.
It wasn't as bad as the beach, but it was still filler.
No, you have to... The beach was anti-filler. And this was also, as we will get into it, first of all, it was a hilarious episode. I think it was the most funny episode of the entire series. Easy.
I have to disagree, but that's just me.
Sheep.
Yes.
Filler was much more funny and less overtly silly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I mean, this was a perfect pre-invasion episode to me. And so, we're going to start with some of the stuff that was filler, which was Aang's dreams. And, some were nightmares, some were daydreams. Start with the nightmares. The first nightmare he had was, I pretty much made an outline recapping episode. Hopefully we don't do that, but yeah, the first one was thank you, Melanie. And the first one was versus the Fire Lord, as many of his dreams were, with no pants. So basically Avatar took a classic, I don't even know what to call it.
No
like
pants.
a cliche that it's like you're nervous, you don't wear pants or something. You imagine the other person not wearing pants.
Psychologically, that could just mean that you're feeling vulnerable, It's just sort of a psychological thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
True.
He's feeling vulnerable. He's feeling like he is a bit more open to, hurt something.
Yeah,
because Dylan, I don't know about you, but even when I'm nervous, I'm wearing pants, so...
I would have to disagree, but no. So, my favorite part my favorite part of these Fire Lord dreams by far were just Ozai, how Aang depicted Ozai in these dreams as the fat guy who his voice was awesome. I mean, we're not there yet, but
yeah.
In the second one, when Aang came in, he's like, "And this time I brought pants," and he said, "So it seems." That was like, my favorite line of the whole thing.
It's kind of nice to see the fact that the dream sequence, the Aang, he showed up in the various designs. Those were shown during Comic-Con the presentation, and we all thought that they were just kind of for an in-joke for the Comic-Con crowd. Turned out they were actually being used in the series.
Aang anime.
All except the big muscular balding with the bullet holes in him.
Yeah.
I like poking fun at the cliche of like... long spiky hair and
the typical anime character. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, my friend would know because she worships Naruto like religion. She actually paused the TV and yelled, "Oh my gosh, Naruto!" when it showed him with like the big spiky hair. I personally don't know.
Bit of Trigun or Trigun. Yeah.
I'm not even commenting. Okay. So yeah.
As anime as I go, the show.
Too. So the second battle, the second dream with the Fire Lord was when Aang forgot the math test, which makes absolutely no sense in the Avatar world, but it's still hilarious.
That was the most.
Let's see. Psychological classes.
Random.
With me.
So it's
the most random thing ever.
Yeah, I know.
I
can relate to Aang. I figured out math tests and I end up failing.
But
in the world instead of my grade. Maybe it's just that he feels like this is again my psychological classes totally seeping into my brain. But maybe it's like he thinks that if he forgets one thing, then he's completely dead. He has to be absolutely perfect.
So basically, this is Aang just angsting over the invasion. A-A-N-G-S. And so the next thing I have here was Aang's daydream of Ozai on that cow thing we saw in real too. Oh, and interesting to note, I'll start here, is that O'Brien brought back many things from 302 that he used, because he was the writer of that episode as well as 309. So the cow thing was just one of those things. He brought back the noodle painting of Ozai, and I'll probably remember other ones too. So yeah, that wasn't
that
much.
That just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that wasn't much of a dream there.
Yeah.
It's just Aang being random and Ozai showing
wake up. Aang. Wake up, sleepyhead.
For some reason, it reminded me of like that video online. Charlie, wake up, sleepyhead.
Not Charlie the unicorn.
That's the craziest Aang thing for Ozai to say ever.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, not much in that
one. The cat actually said that. Not Charlie the unicorn.
Oh god!
I couldn't
no
resist.
Charlie, please, no.
Yeah,
we're not.
Like,
we're not getting into Charlie.
Oh
okay.
My word!
Okay, okay,
okay.
Stay on topic.
Yeah. Then the next nightmare Aang had was pretty amazing, actually. It was like
I like that one. Yeah.
Yeah. The gang was like abducted, and Aang was frozen, and then he fell into the water, and then
the whole Zuko fell out.
Yeah, and then and Zuko was there, and then the comet crashed.
That reminded
into
me
the
of
Earth.
Like the death tape ring.
That was like the only dream that actually made sense.
No, actually, it didn't.
Like
because
yeah.
I was trying to figure out if that was symbolism in any way for anything that's happening in Avatar, or if it was just really random thoughts going directly.
I can think of it. The one part where, okay, it was Zuko on top and Aang,
yeah,
Aang
was
the
frozen
ice.
Underneath. That was kind of reminiscent of the season one finale. Aang was stuck below ice like Zuko was in 119. Not that big. Yeah, the storylines are kind of switched. Aang's in a bad position. Zuko's in a better one. That's true, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gang abducted was pretty straightforward, is that Aang's fearing of everyone else getting hurt and him not being able to do anything about it as him getting frozen and falling into the deep pit of water. The thing that interested me the most, though, was the comet crashing into the Earth.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
That was...
It doesn't really mean anything.
It's the Earth and explodes.
It's the comet coming and the Fire Nation winning, basically.
Yeah. Yeah,
was on
yeah.
Fire.
I don't know, but it's just something. This goes back to something that Jason kept bringing up to me. Was that he was always like, "I wonder if the comet's gonna, if the Sozin's comet's actually gonna crash in the Earth." And then after he saw this episode, he was like, "Oh, I told you so." But I don't know if this relates to it or not. I'm thinking,
probably
does this
not.
Because we could obviously draw this conclusions to just the Fire Nation winning and stuff, but does this involve Sozin's comet literally?
Well, look, if Sozin's comet came by. So many, whatever, 100 years ago, it obviously didn't crash then. So unless the comet on this trajectory this time around is going to crash into the Earth, and maybe that will be the dramatic, you know, action,
yeah,
whatever happens.
That could be
this,
interesting.
You know, whole series finale, that could be interesting, but it could have just been for the dream, you know.
Yeah, that would make for an amazing season finale if the comet actually crashed into the Earth. But
there wasn't two comets.
Oh yeah,
you know, the first time the comet came around, they didn't derive their massive power simply because the comet crashed and there's a like strong power.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of just the magnetic force of the comet flying overhead.
Yeah, the huge heat radiation.
Whatever you call
it,
huge heat or radiation or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I don't think it goes that deep scientifically, but yeah. So I guess there are really two ways to draw from the dream: is that Fire Nation winning and then spreading over the Earth like the fire did there, or that maybe it's hinting at a later scene where the comet actually does crash in the Earth, and that would be pretty awesome, but, you know, most likely it's not going to. So,
yeah.
I don't know if we can get any farther into that without any more information.
Yeah,
so, next daydream was probably the high point of the episode, was... Momo and Appa started talking, and they samurai.
When I first saw it, I totally thought it was real. I was just like, oh my god, my dreams are coming true.
Kevin.
Yeah, this specific dream right here, I really, you know, a lot of cute things, really kind of dug the Appa and Momo fight and all that. It's kind of cute. And the whole thing where they start talking to each other, and Appa sounds like Barney.
I love that.
But it really was too long. What the heck? It felt more like they were trying to spend time. Like, we don't have enough Zuko story to tell or something like that, so let's spend some more time just on this dream sequence because there's not much plot in this episode to start with.
Yes.
Filler. I liked it the whole way through.
Filling space.
I was cracking up the
they're
whole
just
way
just filling
the
space.
Watched the first time. I think. I mean, maybe towards the end when they had all the things moving around him, but up to the point where...
I was totally enjoying it, right up to the point where they had, like, 2 second or 5 second shots of the sheep things going.
Of the sheep.
I love the sheep.
Oh my god.
Sheep. The episode and get to the next episodes, which are gonna be cooler.
Yeah. So I just like this whole thing. I think it was good enough in the beginning that it was able to carry over towards the end of the sequence. But yeah, my favorite part of the episode definitely in this sequence was Pathic randomly appearing, saying chakras, chakras. Everybody loves chakras.
Chakras, chakras, chakras.
Yeah, that a lot of random happenings. Oh my god!
I mean, can't see them like bringing back the Vortex Actor and hiring him, paying him more money just to do that part. I almost wonder if he wasn't like kidding around during a recording session. And
yeah,
little,
maybe.
Like, chakras, chakras. Everybody loves chakras.
Or he
and
made,
just
true. He was like, probably working at Nickelodeon or something. Maybe, or you know, maybe that could say he's there. May bring him back, actually, but I don't think Pathic's coming back. I think there's no way. But
yeah, that was just
it's unlikely.
I actually rolled my eyes at that part.
From the preview we saw on Turbo Nick of the next coming episodes, we know they bring back a lot of strange, you know, tertiary characters. So who knows?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I just don't think so. Because Pathic's like all the way on the other side, and anyway.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any value in fighting.
Well, he could have value like spiritual wise, but I don't know. And
but chakras are like Red Bull; they give you wings.
Oh my god!
I don't know. Just the fact that Pathic wasn't even like mentioned until this episode kind of made this all the more hilarious for me that they're making fun of it and stuff, and the fact that Aang's hiding it—it's just finally coming out within him.
I personally find it stupid, but that's just me.
It was hilarious. So, yeah. And then the last nightmare he had was versus the Fire Lord for the last time at the end of the episode, and the Fire Lord had no pants, and he was like, "No, my royal parts are showing." Yeah, that was like
that part I actually laughed at.
That was great for me.
Not expecting that.
Yeah, because the difference was the Fire Lord actually looked like Ozai this time, and it wasn't like random fat guy. I miss random fight guy already. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we'll get into some of the hidden plots within this episode. Is that, and there are many.
There's
actually
a hidden plot.
Hidden.
There's
various
a hidden
things.
Plot.
I mean, okay, there isn't much story to this, but there is stuff randomly assorted within here. So yeah, I have stuff written down. I'm probably missing some stuff anyway. Okay, so pretty
a therapist a hidden plot.
As some of it I said. Gosh. Okay, so Aang first huge thing was that Aang mentioned not knowing firebending yet, and this was like pretty much dismissed by Sokka in that they're invading during the eclipse. Who needs it anyway?
It's a stupid element.
That's their thinking.
So I think
that's why he hasn't learned it yet.
Here. Yeah, because I guess their thinking was that they're not going to use it anyway because Aang's not going to be able to use it. I don't know if that's not necessarily smart thinking, but the fact that they're bringing a lot of stuff up that they've neglected earlier in the season here. So
I think it is going to go wrong, maybe. I'm thinking.
Firebending-wise, I don't know, but you know, this just shows that Aang actually is thinking about it, and that they're not completely ignoring the fact that he has to firebend. And it probably shows that Aang is over 116, most likely, the deserter.
Yeah.
We hope so.
Never firebend again.
Yeah. Okay, so another one of the high points of the episode for me was Toph's anime-style head pop-up thing. And he was like, just go to sleep already.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love how they're not afraid to use the anime elements this season. You know, it just makes the episode so much more hilarious for me. Anytime they use
some, I can deal without. Some are good, but some are kind of weird.
Yeah. I think they're good for the show in general. I don't know.
They don't overdo it, that's for sure.
Yeah, they
just
don't
bring
overdo
it. Up.
It.
Yeah.
Because that means the times they do it, it's really hilarious. Okay, now we're going to get into the main thing I have to talk about. And unfortunately, it is Cat Aang, so because actually, if you look at the hidden plot within this episode, the biggest part was Cat Aang, actually. It's not just because I'm obsessed with it. So, okay, so
yes,
I know.
It is. Yes, it is.
Partly. But, okay, one.
Really, I thought the main part was the fact that he's anxious over facing the Fire Lord.
Well, yeah, I know. That was, like, the outline plot. This was more the hidden within the plot.
The hidden.
If
you actually read the outline.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was the outline I made. That's why you're supposed to read it. Okay, so huge thing for me here. I was, like, in shock after I saw this first time. It's the first time Katara uses the fact that Aang likes her. I mean, seriously, she used it to try to get Aang to do something she wanted to. She's never done that before.
How did she use it?
She was like, Aang, go to sleep for me. Yeah.
I think that's just huge.
If you actually have that right mindset for it. The fact that Katara, it's out there that Aang likes her now. And Katara's, like, not afraid. This is relationship growth in whatever strange way it is, because it's just the fact. And also Katara put her hand on his shoulder, but I mean, that's kind of something I want to get into later. But
I do think at this point she knows she likes him. But
I think she likes her. She knows she likes him.
I actually assume when she put her hand on her shoulder, like, I know how to make you feel better. I thought she was going to give him a massage or something.
Aang and Katara, another main thing. Aang and Katara just getting more touchy in this episode. If you looked at it in general, Katara touching Aang line, and Aang's like, you know, like the shoulder thing. It's like, yes, no, not in that way. But seriously, they were just getting more touchy, and I think this is a perfect transition into, you know, like their later relationship development we'll eventually see, like, towards the finale and stuff like that. So, you know, it's out there that they like each other, and it's just, it's getting, they're becoming closer, and as they get towards high points in the storyline, you know, it's like, what's...
I still don't see her as being whole hog on it, though.
As her what?
I still don't see her as being fully committed to the idea of, you know, being in a relationship with Aang, though.
I do.
I know Aang is total crazy crush on her. She likes Aang a lot, and she's kind of on that edge, but I don't see her, like, you know, throwing herself at him.
Well, not throwing herself at him, but at this point, I mean...
There's still development to go.
There's still development, but I don't think that much more, actually. I think they've been working out 50 more episodes.
You gotta look at it this way, too. If they have it happen too quickly, there won't be any tension for the viewers, so they're gonna drag it on to the very bitter end.
Well, yeah, they will. They'll have Kang all the way towards the end, yeah, and eventually they won't have an I love you too, probably, until the end.
Right, yeah.
So. I mean, but you can tell. You can tell already.
That they wave in front of us and yank away.
Yeah, I hate that.
I love the direction they're going in right now with Kang. I just do. I mean, this episode is great. And my favorite part of the episode, of course, was the Cat Egg Daydream. I mean...
Oh, goodness.
Good figure.
3 weeks.
It was perfect. This wasn't
Cat Egg
at
all. Over and over and
guys,
over and over.
Oh, my God.
You have no idea how hard it was to keep the screenshot off, the spoilers off of VH.
Oh, yeah. I got spoiled by that long ago, but... Yeah. For the Forever Girl was the best line in the history of Avatar. No questions asked.
Oh my God!
I heard that too many times for it to like.
Oh God!
I
gotta find that link. I made that repeating on like a random page. Like, just put it on a repeating sound.
That was terrible.
And played it like 3 weeks ago. Played it for like half an hour.
Yeah.
That's like the advice your really dumb buddy gives you when you're trying to ask out a girl.
I know exactly.
You tell the Forever Girl, man.
It's like a bad pickup.
Exactly.
You know, but what's awesome about it, though, is I could analyze the line, but it just goes deeper into Aang and Katara's relationship. It's really symbolic and stuff like that.
He likes her and he's a player. That's pretty much it.
No, it's like a literal
word. It's cool because he is geeky, you know? That's what's fun about it.
Aang sounded really geeky towards before that. It's like, long time. Yeah, but I think that was really cool. But the literal word forever is the fact that, like, Katara, like, kind of resurrected Aang and saved him, and now she's been with him ever since, like, his whole life, pretty much, like, forever. It's a little deeper meaning there, but that was definitely done by Brian on purpose. It wasn't just a random, let's see what we can do, let's see the corniest line we can have for Aang to say, even though it was pretty corny, and it was pretty hilarious. And so,
at least he admitted it's corny.
John O'Brien's a genius, and...
He's
just a genius in so many ways. We'll get into that in quality, though.
The Great Divide. Think the Great Divide.
That was a genius episode, too. he was finding his rhythm, okay? God.
If you hate the Great Divide, you hate John O'Brien.
No, not true.
Okay, if you two start this, we're going to be going for an hour.
Yeah, we could. Okay, so does the dream sequence kiss mean anything? Now, you know, I think this is only just like a television... I don't know how to put it. It's like something they use. It's a method, I guess. Because just because Aang has a daydream about kissing Katara doesn't mean, like, OMG, they're going to kiss next episode, the episode after, and the episode after, or something like that. I mean, it's mainly a television device, I guess.
Wait a minute. There's a little imbalance here. We're talking too much Katang here. Katang kiss. I want to go back and talk about Ozai's kiss.
There's a part of it.
It gets to it. So this is big because as we progress more, I don't know. I think they're gonna kiss eventually, like before the finale, because the finale would be less anticlimactic if that was the first time they're kissing. I think, actually,
yeah. True.
So I don't know. As I said last episode, I'm leaning more towards them kissing in like 3. I don't know. I'm thinking 3:11 more than 3:10 lately, but. So, yeah.
For me, Dylan. I think if Dylan ever gets a girlfriend, he has to use the Forever Girl line.
I already said I would. I promised that, like, in chat.
And he'll be single the next day.
Exactly. Yeah. So, next day, I go, oh, God, that's going to suck.
I can't imagine you doing that.
Okay. So, next is the Sokka therapist was back. That was another thing from 302. Steve O'Brien brought back a lot of his things. And yeah, the beard was back. I thought it was glued to his face, but apparently not, so.
What was his name in that episode?
He lied.
Wang Fire.
I remember Sapphire Fire was there.
Wang
Fire.
Yeah, so.
Wang Fire and Sapphire Fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Sapphire
that was hilarious.
Come back.
Sapphire Fire. So, yeah. 302, best episode ever. So,
no,
John
really.
O'Brien's a
Sokka,
genius.
Best
and
therapist ever. Sokka,
is the best therapist ever. It does seem like we're all trying to save the world sometimes, doesn't it? That was his best piece of advice, definitely. So,
I like the sheep pillow.
Sheep pillow, yeah.
Into the koala Jake. Sheep was fun.
I love that.
Yeah, she. Do you want to scream into this pillow?
What about like a stuffed animal, of, like a koala, sheep, or something?
Yeah, they need to make a plushie.
Marketers gotta wake
for
up. They could be selling dozens of those.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Therapy devices.
I would buy one of those.
I would buy all of them.
Coming to your schools, your school counselor near you. So, yeah. So, Aang trains against the Ozai target. Yeah, it was like Ozai's defenses are impenetrable. So
Ozai target.
That's pretty hilarious there. He was obsessing. And he was using the noodle painting, of course, because John O'Brien likes bringing his stuff back. But yeah, not much there to discuss, is there? And
Jake is a really lousy shot.
Yeah, so then the gang, here comes more cutting. The gang makes Aang bed, and you know it's reassuring him that he can actually do it, and that's pretty much all Aang needed was reassurance and stuff to get and make sure the support of his friends. And you know, I hate to say more cutting, but you saw the look in, you know, Katara looked at Aang, and then Aang. But seriously, that was like probably the biggest moment of the whole show, cutting wise. Just that reassurance. Because I don't know if Sokka and Toph meant anything to Aang. It was more of Katara there.
Talking to him.
I didn't do that, but I'll let you handle it.
They look at each other.
Oh, yeah. And Sokka nudged Toph.
So, yeah, okay. There's your Taka for this episode. We're not getting enough Taka lately.
No.
Yeah.
Taka's cute.
Taka is. I love Taka.
I'm not even going to talk about it.
Okay, so.
Leave Suki open for me.
Is he gonna come back?
No, we're not even gonna get into Suki. I don't feel like it. Okay, so Zuko's side. Yeah, I don't have much here. Because Zuko's side was actually mainly filler, except that war meeting thing. So yeah, basically Zuko's unsure if he was gonna attend the war meeting or not, and turns out
The one gag I absolutely loved in this episode. All the other ones I could kind of see coming. The one I loved was the rickshaw he gets carried in, or whatever that was called.
Oh.
Not the rickshaw, the royal.
Started with a P.
I forget what the actual name is. The table with a bunch of sticks sticking out of it that the servants carry you around on. How's that?
I'll find it.
That thing.
He climbs in it. They take him a little distance and boom, drop him right down there across the street. That was great.
Yeah, that was. I'm only going to May's house.
And the Zuko fangirls outside the palace.
Yeah, that was good. And the fat one came up and was like, Yeah. I forgot that
Did
part.
Did you guys see me in the crowd? I was right there.
Oh, okay. Definitely.
I know what you look like.
What? Oh yeah, you're then looking for Sokka. Okay.
Walking around looking for Sokka.
Exactly. Okay. So yeah, the big development in this was Zuko's last line. The only one that mattered
I
in
like
the whole
that.
Series was, in the meeting, I was the perfect prince, the son my father always wanted, but I wasn't me. Right.
Yeah, I love that line so much.
Definitely good line by O'Brien there. And Jake's not here to argue that with me, so.
I tell you, Zuko, first Danny doesn't love you enough, now he loves you too much, make up your mind.
Yeah, exactly. just figure it out, Zuko, come on. I mean, I don't know, I like the path Zuko's taking right now, I don't know. It's kind of cool, I liked him in this episode, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Mel, I think it's time.
Oh, yeah. All right,
wow.
Wow, it's good timing.
We need a theme song for this.
All right.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did.
Okay, right. Get on with it.
It's time for your weekly Hidden Zutara. When Aang and Katara kissed, Aang was tall. Zuko was tall. Therefore, it foreshadows Katara kissing Zuko. This has been your weekly Hidden Zutara.
Exactly. Again, we're only making fun of canon Zutara.
You know what's really scary about that?
What?
I actually read an argument somewhere.
Oh, God.
The fact that Aang's hair, the way his hair looked, was exactly like Zuko's.
I read that, too.
I think
oh
I used
God.
That one.
Oh, my God.
I think I used that one.
I don't know. I read that somewhere. So, yeah, that's what I forgot to mention. Aang was taller. He made himself taller in his daydream, so he was, like, on level with Katara. That was pretty cute. Yeah, I don't know. That's very realistic, actually. So, something he always probably thinks about is, how am I going to kiss her if I'm shorter than her? So, yeah. Okay, a new segment this podcast is your crack ship of the week. And your crack ship of the week. Your crack ship. What did I even say, your crap ship? Okay.
Way to go.
It's 12:40, okay? Okay, so, Jake, it's time for your crack ship of the week.
All right, your crack ship for this week, Moshi Appa. Oh, yeah. Remember that scene in Aang's daydream with Momo, Appa, and all those sheep? You definitely felt the tension there.
That's better than I thought you'd do. See, Moshi Appa is Momo, Sheep, and Appa. You know, that stretch.
Yes.
That's stretching it even for a crack ship.
No.
Okay, whatever. We're done with those. Those are our two funny segments.
I'm
going to play
you on that now.
Okay, so the quality.
Those are your cake segments for the week.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No. Okay, so your writing was done by John O'Brien, obviously, and he's a genius, and Jake refuses to believe that, and I give him an A++++++ for the... No, I give him a...
Fails.
You know, I think he gets
up. Did he also write The Painted Lady?
No. Who wrote Painted Lady? Hamilton wrote Painted Lady, right?
Oh, Hamilton, okay, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, so I think writing gets an A- here. I think O'Brien was... He wrote an effective episode. I like it.
He wrote Avatar Day.
I'm talking about this specific episode! Oh my God! I mean, the episode in itself... I mean, it didn't have much development, yada yada. I think it was effective, and it accomplished what it needed to, and it was hilarious.
It was filler.
Well, I have a specific thought on why we've been having these kinds of episodes since the beginning of the season rather than launching right into the more dramatic stuff right away.
Okay.
Specifically, yes. I really think that Nickelodeon's kind of been putting pressure on the Avatar staff, and of course we're talking in past tense because they've already, you know, been in production for quite a while in the third season, but I believe there was pressure put on them, I think, to make more standalone episodes. I mean,
yes.
Really, I see Nickelodeon, and I don't think Nickelodeon knows how to deal or likes a serialized television series where they can't show episodes out of order in reruns.
No,
and I think there was a little bit of pressure being put on them to make some more, which is kind of crazy in my opinion at this point. I think the writers were just as frustrated. I think they wanted Aang to be learning firebending. I think they wanted to be getting more into the more solid stuff, but Nick was giving them the lean on to make episodes that are more filler-like and standalone.
Yeah.
I actually completely disagree. I don't think that Nick is influencing him like that. I mean, the way Nick would influence Avatar is through Mike and Brian, and that's pretty obvious. But, you know, I trust Mike and Brian in this specific case. I don't think they'd let Nick influence them that easily. I like the beginning format of Season 3, and, you know, the only things they could have been doing better is they could have shown that two-week period during 301 of all this planning for the invasion that we might see and stuff like that. No. I guess we'll have to go back to this topic towards the end of the season, because we don't really know right now what their specific goals are for the second half. But I just don't see Nick pressuring them into standalone episodes, because these episodes still were reliant on plot before. It just wasn't as much.
That's actually one of the reasons why they have the previously on Avatar right now.
Yeah,
why they started doing that with episode 206 is because Nick wanted them to...
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty obvious, but...
Yeah.
So I think that just takes away from commercial time, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, so direction was done by Mr. Spalding here, and...
Oh, my God.
he's an amazing director. It's just... I don't think this could have been choreographed anymore.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that ending sequence, he could have done a little better job with the pan-out scene and stuff like that, but...
He's better on action-type episodes.
Yeah, and Spalding is better on epic episodes, definitely. Mr. Spalding. So, I give direction A-, too. I don't know. I just don't see how it could have been
better. You're too generous.
I don't see how it could have been better. I don't know. Yeah, so an animation was done by JM. A++. Just great.
Animation was the only thing good about this episode.
Oh, you're crazy. Okay, so let's go down the list. I'm going to give this... I have to give it a 9 out of 10, because I just don't see anything wrong with it, really. It accomplished everything I wanted out of the episode, really.
She goes Katara and Aang kissed.
Yes, exactly.
I actually am not even thinking of their dream sequence kiss when I'm saying this. I'm just thinking...
Right.
Because I seriously am ignoring that within the Cat Aang scope of the episode, but... You know, it accomplished everything it needed with the humor and the Zuko plot development and the little Cat Aang development and their little firebending references, stuff like that. That's just all I needed out of it, so I think 9 out of 10.
All right. Well, I disagree with that. I think the Zuko, what they had for Zuko could have been squeezed into any other episode. It was so short. I don't think they really needed to have such a long cool-down episode. The humor was fine and funny. I enjoyed it all, but... Again, I don't blame the writers. I think they did as good a job as they could do. I like the staff. I like the things that they do in Avatar, but I don't think this was all that great an episode, personally. I didn't dislike it. I love all of Avatar. Heck, it's Avatar. I love Avatar, no matter what. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that this was one of the finest episodes.
Okay, so score out of 10?
I don't score out of 10.
Yes, you do. I think I made you too. Did you do that once?
Nope.
No, come on. Okay, from Kevin's thing, Kevin gives it a 7.5. Abby?
Like a 9.
9?
Oh, okay. My God.
Abby's usually generous, though, so. Jake?
6.5.
Okay, that's what I thought. Melanie?
7.
Steph?
Same as Jake. 6. Actually, just 5.9, maybe.
Ruth?
8.5.
8.5 because of the one little taco.
Oh my God. Lose the taco. It's not going to happen.
Okay, so let's quickly preview the invasion here. Day of Black Sun, parts 1 and 2. First part is the invasion. Second part is the eclipse. The first part is written by Michael Dante DiMartino, one of the co-creators, and directed by Giancarlo Volpe. The second part is written by Aaron Hijas and directed by Joaquim Dos Santos.
Cool.
I don't know. I was thinking.
I think it's gonna be good.
Yeah. You know, this it's a mid-season episode. You know, I don't know. I don't really have any spoilers on it, and I don't really have any expectations for it. So yeah, I think think it'll be good. Hopefully they, you know, their ultimate thing is they're gonna fail, but hopefully they accomplish that in a really good way, that will make for a good plot within the next few episodes of the season after it.
I personally, like, considering that it's Day of Black Sun, they've been laying it up, I have a feeling that's going to be, like, just the awesomest episode that'll get Avatar right back on track and be the Avatar we know so well.
Avatar is on track. Don't even bring that up with me, but...
Chocolate! Everybody likes chocolate!
Avatar's right where it needs to be.
Yeah!
I think the invasion's definitely gonna continue the fact that Avatar is right online. So
gets back on track.
It is on track. You guys are crazy. These are some of the best episodes of the entire series. How are you not seeing this?
It went off track.
I only read Avatar because I love.
It went off track this last episode.
That's not... Do you guys understand? This wasn't Nick. This was the fact that Aaron Hijas sat down in the writer's room with Michael Dante DiMartino, and they were like, okay, John O'Brien, here's an episode before one what might be the most epic episode of the series. This is going to be a comedic episode, and it's going to develop some storylines here, here, and here. Okay? That's exactly what they said. You can't blame John O'Brien. You can't blame anything. This is what the episode was made for. It's what it was supposed to be. And you cannot like it because of what it was supposed to be, but you can't not like it because it was executed badly on where it is after... Wow, I'm terrible at this. where it is after... in the season. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jake, no. What Jake's saying is he didn't like the overall concept of this episode, which is understandable.
Yeah. The timing was completely inappropriate.
I mean, disagree. I think it was the perfect timing right before an epic thing to have a hilariously comedic episode. I just don't see...
They could have delivered an episode that was more like the Waterbending Master in season one.
Gruul.
No, that was a setup. Yes. That wasn't a setup episode, though. That was,
Yeah, it was.
It was continuing into the storyline
episode.
It was
the
season
finale.
It wasn't a bridge, though, because they accomplished plot there. This is like a setup episode. It's different purposes because of different places within the season. I mean, if the invasion was at the end of the season, they obviously wouldn't have this episode here, but it's not. It's 109. And I'm glad they didn't have Aang starting to learn firebending at 109 like they did the past two seasons with the elements, because I don't like that placement in the season anyway. So, you know, we could argue this all day, but we've spent way too long on that. Wow, we have spent way too long. Okay, so... Wow, I'm screwed. Okay, let's move on to our scripted impromptu. Okay, now it's time for our scripted impromptu segment, and this scripted impromptu takes place between episodes 309 and 310, and the basic concept of scripted impromptu is it's like a regular impromptu segment, except scripted. That's a good explanation. And it's just like we're reading Jake, this episode Jake, Mel, and I wrote again, and we're like reading off of, we tried to write an episode of Avatar pretty much that kind of further explains the plot that they haven't been explaining in the beginning of season 3. And so this is kind of a lead into the invasion, I guess, kind of. And it's all about Zuko's side of the story this time. No Cat Aang at all.
Yay.
Hey.
Sorry, no Sutara.
Like, pull out, like, hidden Cat Aang.
Hopefully, and we're not going to go through the roles. Hopefully you can figure out who people are. And if you can't, then we're not going to do the segment anymore, because people are going to suck then. So let's start it off, Act 1.
Let us begin our journey with Zuko and Azula, who are walking down a hall in the palace. Zuko seems distracted.
And that admiral was completely wrong when it came to the 51st decision. Don't you think, Zuzu? Zuko?
Huh? I suppose.
What's wrong with you lately? During the whole meeting, you were very quiet.
You know what happened the last time I spoke in a war meeting?
That doesn't mean you have to be dead silent. You're the Fire Lord's son. They expect you to talk when it's your turn.
Would you like me to raise my hand?
Couldn't hurt, unless you want to lose the other side of your face. Why don't you take a walk and clear your head?
Let us go to Azula, Mei, and Ty Lee.
And then he bought me a necklace!
Ty Lee, could you kindly shut up? I've got a more important topic. Prince Pain in the Butt is acting odd.
What are you talking about?
Something's on his mind. He seems distracted about something lately.
Maybe he's thinking?
When does Zuzu ever think about anything he does? Besides, what could be taking up his mind so much?
Not me, that's for sure. He's been blowing me off for 3 days straight now.
Yeah, the other day when I asked him if he wanted to help me practice a new move, he just ignored me.
I've seen Zuko in some strange moods, but now he's acting extra weird, even for him.
Last I talked to him, he said something about the past being on his mind. I figured he'd read a book and would be at the end of it.
What do you mean by past?
He didn't say. It was like he was talking to himself the whole time.
Cut to the dum-dum Zuko, who is alone moping in his room.
That's not what I wrote.
Okay, go.
I don't understand anything. The Avatar, my sister, my mother and father, nothing makes sense.
Zuko, knock. Can I come in?
What?
Wow, yesterday you wouldn't even acknowledge me.
What do you want?
I just wanted to see how you were doing. You seemed a bit of a strange mood lately.
I'm fine, now leave.
Fine, I guess I'll tell Mai you just want to break up.
Huh? Is she mad at me?
She's not that mad, but she doesn't like you blowing her off and definitely hates the way you've been acting.
Right. I just have a lot on my mind right now, which is why I want to be alone.
I understand. You know, my mother collects a lot of things, right? Well, I found something that might help you. It's a history book, the last one remaining before the war, before Lord Sozin destroyed them all and rewrote them.
Fine, thank you.
Now leave.
If you don't mind. She bookmarked a page. Year 1000, History of Encounter Between Fire Lord Ryu and Avatar Sayu. A textbook? Fire Lord Ryu and Avatar Sayu were natural enemies, born in rival houses of nobility, both of which held very different views on the social and economic systems of the government. For political reasons, Sayu was forced to interact with Ryu and to intake his family's political standpoint until, on the day of his 16th birthday, he was informed by the Fire Sages of his identity as the Avatar, at which time he became entitled to speak against Ryu's family sites on... God, what good is this? The answers I want aren't in a textbook. No, that was
Zuko,
me.
Mei, Ty Lee, and Azula.
And then the necklace broke and...
Oh my, do you ever shut up?
Well, excuse me.
Zuko, what is wrong with you?
Nothing. Everything. I don't know.
So obviously taking a walk and thinking didn't help you yesterday. Which one didn't work? I bet it was the thinking part.
Auras!
I don't care about my stupid aura!
I would suggest another walk and thinking session, but obviously thinking is not your forte this week.
I'm going.
Aren't you going to say goodbye to your girlfriend?
Bye.
Cut to Zuko moping again back in his room.
This stupid thing, wonder if there's anything more to it. Year 1020. As Sayu and Ryu grew farther apart throughout their teen years, Ryu started to have second thoughts as to ignoring the Avatar. There was a world meeting in a few days, and the Fire Nation was hosting. He decided to invite Sayu as a gesture of goodwill. Things turned out for the worse, though, when Sayu showed up.
Welcome, Sayu.
Thank you for inviting me, Ryu. I see this place hasn't changed much since I've been here.
No, we are still the premier nation in the world.
About that, Ryu. I don't like the way the Fire Nation's attitude towards the rest of the nation has been lately.
What do you mean?
Attacking harmless Earth Kingdom soldiers? It's just not right.
They have been provoked by those slobs, Sayu. Can't you see?
That is exactly the type of attitude I am talking about. The four nations are equal.
Of course that's what you think. You're the Avatar.
Me being the Avatar has nothing to do with the fact that the Fire Nation is out of line here. If this continues, I will have to banish the Fire Nation from the World Alliance.
What? You wouldn't dare.
You've had my warning. I am done here. As the years went on, Sayu learned that it was Ryu's greed and arrogance that was causing him to treat the world in a harmful way. I can't read on like this.
Now we are with Mei and Ty Lee walking.
And then he was so sweet, he bought me another one, and then...
Hello, Mei.
What? I don't get a hi?
Sorry, I haven't been spending much time with you lately. I've had more important things to think about.
What? More important? How dare you?
That didn't go as planned.
You go back to his room.
I guess I have to finish this chapter. Year 1030. Ryu thought about his attitude towards Sayu and the world. He was torn between his homeland and the good of the world. Next in line to the throne was Ryu's brother, Zhai. He had many attempts in taking the throne from Ryu. All of them were close but failed. Ryu was questioning his place in the Fire Nation.
Hello, Zuzu. What are you reading?
It's none of your business.
Such an old book.
It's a worthless textbook.
Oh, in that case, I guess you wouldn't mind if it went to flames.
No, and get out.
Fine, if it's so important to you.
Tylee and May are walking.
And then I learned it was a fake ruby. Ugh!
May.
Oh, hi, Zuko. There's something I need to tell you, actually.
I'm leaving.
Oh, she'll get over it. Anyway, before I gave you the textbook, Azula might have seen it.
What? Did she see the bookmark chapter?
She may have.
Zuko is pacing around in his room.
Where did I put that freaking textbook? I had it right under my mattress, and now it's gone. What if Azula took it?
Calm down. My mother was looking for it. I had to put it back home for a while, but I brought it back because I assumed you weren't done with it.
What could my older, stupider brother want with a history book so outdated?
It's none of your business, Azula. Now give it back and leave me alone.
Ah, yes, the story of Fire Lord Ryu and the legendary failure who made his first attempt at world conquest and Avatar Sayu, the senile who corrupted the minds of so many as to take them to turn against their own Fire Lord. This is fourth grade history. Since I know too well that it was your best year, that was your best year at the academy, I'm certain you already know this. So why, then, would you need this old, abolished book?
Azula, just let him have it.
Tylee, would you kindly leave my brother and I alone?
Ugh, fine. I guess I'll go find Mai and tell her more of my boy stories. Make sure I get that book back, though. My mother would kill me if anything happened to it.
Now, brother, I want answers. I don't want to have to bother father with something so petty.
Just mind your own business. I'm not hurting anyone, and neither is this book.
If you need to learn history, I suggest a library. This book was written over 150 years ago, and has been banished because of its inaccuracies found by famous historians who can prove everything in here is false. Why read up on something that is so wrong?
And now to Tylee, who is catching up with May.
I can't believe he's just brushing me off for something more important. What could be more important than spending time with your girlfriend?
Gosh, do I sound that annoying when I'm talking to boys? About boys? Jack Nabbit!
I'm so mad right now. Tylee, could you stop doing cartwheels and help me out?
Now to Azula and Zuko.
Actually, Father told me to get the book. He wanted me to get the book from Tylee, to read a couple chapters, and destroy it. But I haven't even read one chapter, so can I please have the book back so I can finish?
I'm sure if I had told you I was going back to ask in advance, you could have come up with a better lie than that. Still, this book must mean an awful lot to you, for whatever weird reason. Here you go. But I do want that book destroyed after you're done with it. It serves no purpose.
Finally. Now, the rest of the story. Year 1035. Tensions were at an all-time high. Avatar Sayu had been busy traveling the world for the last 5 years, solving conflict after conflict. Ryu had been held in check until now, but the world could feel war coming in the near future. Ryu launched an attack at the vulnerable Northern Water Tribe, who were undergoing a time of political unrest. Avatar Sayu confronted the Fire Lord about this. You are unbelievable, Ryu. I gave you ample warning to stop your militaristic plots.
Sayu, you as a member of the Fire Nation can recognize the need for political restructuring within this world. The Northern Water Tribe has been engaged in a political civil war for years. I believe conquering it and settling in a stable government is for the best of the entire world.
Why will you not listen to reason? I am pleading with you. Each nation needs to find its own political system and doesn't need the help of other nations. I hope this isn't about being as great as your father, because starting a war won't make you as great as him. It will shame him and you. Do you want his legacy to be tainted by an unsuccessful attempt at world conquest? And you will be unsuccessful, because I will personally aid everyone whom you attack. And the other nations are already gathering defensive forces, anticipating an attack. But we can stop this here and now. Withdraw from the Northern Water Tribe and renounce any other military campaigns you have commenced. Stop these insane attacks before it gets any more out of control.
And now welcome to Girl Talk with Mei and Ty Lee. May's house.
And he invited me to his house, but I told my parents wanted to meet all the boys I see before I'm allowed over to his house.
Ty Lee.
And then he was like, forget your parents, and I told him to get lost then. Ugh, can you believe the nerve of some people?
Oh, look, there's Azula. Azula, over here.
Mei, can I have a moment alone with Ty Lee?
Finally. I mean, all right, I'll be waiting over there.
Ty Lee, I want to hear what possibly possessed you to give a book to my brother.
He seemed distracted, and I thought a book would get his mind off of it.
Why would you give him an old book and bookmark the chapters of Two Fools?
I just picked a random chapter, honestly. I figured if I gave him something to read, he might not act as weird. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine. Just give him some time.
Now, Zuko reading. Wow, I didn't know he could do that.
Oh, man. Ryu initially put up another protest. But in the coming months, he renounced all military campaigns as Sayu had instructed. Continuing as Fire Lord, Ryu decided to travel the world with Sayu, helping rebuild the societies he helped destroy. Ryu eventually decided he no longer wanted to be Fire Lord and stepped down, childless. Therefore, his brother Zhai was next in line to take the throne. For years, Ryu and Sayu traveled the world together, extinguishing fires Zhai started all over the world. These two men, who were at one time the greatest of enemies, realized that it was their destiny all along to save the world from tyrants. Years came and gone. Eventually, Sayu realized his destiny as Avatar was to restore balance to the world. After foiling several of Zhai's plots, Sayu killed the tyrant, and, along with Ryu, started a new era in the Fire Nation history, inputting a new leader who sent out a message of hope and peace. Many years later, at age 109, Avatar Sayu passed away. Ryu spoke at his funeral.
In my life, I discovered even those who seem to be clear enemies can become the greatest of friends. At birth, Avatar Sayu and I were sworn enemies, my father being Fire Lord, and his father a wealthy nobleman who led the rival political house in the Fire Nation. When my father passed away, I was crowned Fire Lord, and I was so determined to do whatever I thought would make him happy. I let my brother get to my head and committed treacherous acts against other nations. However, I decided I wasn't going to let anyone else control my destiny other than myself. I made a choice to join with the Avatar and eventually step down as Fire Lord. I determined my destiny was to stop my evil sibling, and that it was the Avatar's destiny to help me. So as a new era of Fire Nation nobles enter the world, as well as a new Avatar, I hope they will realize their own destinies and working together, even with someone who's a sworn enemy, is not always a bad thing.
3 years after Sayu's death, to the day, Ryu passed away. Their conflict, and later friendship, is one of the most legendary stories of success in the Fire Nation history to this day. They put their past aside and follow their destinies to bring peace and balance to the entire world. I can't believe this. They work together? That makes no sense.
Zuko, I am begging you.
Look into your heart and see what it is that you truly want.
I know what I want.
Okay, so yeah, that's it. As you could probably tell from our... I don't know if you can tell from our writing styles by now, but Melanie wrote part one, I wrote part two, and Jake wrote part three. And Jake was head writer in this. So...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do I need to go over the characters? Nah. Okay, so, that one was very similar to the first one we had. Jake's concept was pretty much the same as mine, so whatever. Copier. Yeah.
What?
With the whole flashback and going to a different thing.
Yeah. I like Ruth completely butchering whatever we had in there.
That was Ruth's like the best part of this.
Very good.
Well, I think,
Steph
did a really good job.
Yeah, I think, I actually like Steph's Tylee voice.
Yeah, definitely. Steph,
oh, yeah.
Better than, oh god, I forgot, who's... Olivia Hack in season 3.
Yes.
Audition. Okay. If only they weren't, like, done.
Text.
Yeah.
If only the show were ending.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's move on to our mailbag. The mailbag segment is where we'll answer your questions you guys send in on Avatar and address comments on the podcast. You can send questions to podcast@dongwufeng.net. And we've got 7 emails for you this week, and the first of which is...
Clinton writes, "Hello, my name's Clinton. I'm 20 years old, and I'm currently stationed in Japan while serving the U.S. Navy. I just wanted to say that I've only been listening to your podcast for 3 weeks, but I absolutely love it already. I have to say, your theories and insights are great, and the show is very entertaining. I'd like to comment on what Dylan said in Podcast 16 about people watching the episodes early in the UK and US fans watching all the episodes illegally online. I agree with Dylan. I am in a location where I don't get the episodes broadcasted as they come out in the States, but I was able to watch Season 2 when I got the chance to buy the Season 2 book box set, which I didn't get to for 2.5 weeks until it was released. I now watch the episodes on iTunes as they're released, so I say if you have the fortitude to wait for the episodes as they are legally released. But enough on that subject. After Podcast 17, I've been wondering, if you could date or marry any character from the Avatar universe, who would it be? My personal choice would be Toph. She's an outgoing and independent woman that is not afraid to speak her mind, which is what I personally want in a woman. And I also find that dating a girl who could kick the crap out of anyone is interesting. If nothing else, it would make flirting with her a lot more fun. Love to hear your opinions. Love the show and keep up the good work."
thank you for the compliments, Quinn, and thank you for the service in the Navy, first of all.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And great, they're actually... I didn't think anyone in the Navy would actually be listening to the podcast, but that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it is.
So, yeah, the fact that someone in Station Japan right now can get the episodes pretty much on time. Yeah, guys, there is a way, usually. I mean, it's also Japan, so their iTunes is
Japan.
Usually the same as us there, but... yeah, good. Actually, have we ever been asked this question before on the podcast?
Yeah, you guys similar.
Yeah, I think we answered one before, but this one's different
because
dangerous
question. You don't want some people to go there.
Yeah, it is a dangerous question, but it's also a really fun one.
Oh yeah.
And the key here is that regardless of age, so Jake can't complain now. So my choice obviously is Katara, because I'm like a Katara fanboy, and. Since episode one.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah. And then, okay, let's go to Jake, since Jake's obvious too.
Mine's obvious?
Yes, Tylee.
All right, yes, Tylee.
Yeah, let's. I guess we have to give reasons too. Jake has two. Jake has two reasons.
Oh, should I be worried?
I might have edited that out. I know.
Oh my
for
god!
For me, Katara is just—I love her personality and the fact that
they're the same reasons you have.
Yeah, of course. And I just love her caring nature and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, okay. Abby.
Zuko, of course.
Oh, God.
Why is Zuko?
Oh, my word.
What?
Awesome.
He's awesome?
Yes.
Really?
I don't care
what
you think,
Zuko.
Really?
Like, total A? Okay. Let's go to the, probably the one most obvious of us here, Steph.
Sokka, 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 Sokka!
And why Sokka, Steph?
Because, well, one, his personality, it's funny and goofy and I like that, and two, well, he's good looking, and I don't know, it's his personality, actually, it's just, love
sure.
it.
Sure.
That's a nice skin tone.
Oh, yeah, can
there.
I just throw something in about that?
Skin tone. Skin tone.
Wow, you know, I think all of us are obvious here except Melanie. But yeah, okay, Ruth.
Boomy. He's a man.
Boomy.
Okay.
Oh my god. Oh my word.
It's regardless
no
of,
way.
Yeah,
you fuck.
Expected.
Yeah.
It's regardless
no
of
way.
Age, so maybe Boomy at 28.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That is the best person ever. You rock.
No way. No way. Oh my god.
Okay.
Wow.
Kevin.
Barney Kennedy. Because there's nothing better to be married to than your work.
What?
Okay.
Your answer is Suki.
Nice.
Would I be correct in saying, assuming your choice would be Suki if it has to be a person, Kev?
Do I even have to say that?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Should we take it for granted?
Okay. Now here's Melanie.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Everyone took everyone, so.
No, you can have someone. Someone already took.
You can fight for him.
I'm good. I don't really like anyone on the show.
Are you going to default with Zuko or not really?
No.
Oh, yeah,
Aang, Melanie, aren't you part of the Aang family?
That's slightly pedophilic, though.
So, no, we said regardless of age.
Alright, I'll take
Aang. You're like
I'll
2
take
years
Aang
older
back.
Than Aang. Oh, because he's 112.
I'm 15.
Because he's 112, okay.
yeah. So fine. He's like 90
yeah, so Melanie gets Aang. Okay. I guess, did we all choose different characters?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Wow.
Yeah. We chose awesome. The entire cast, except...
Yeah, exactly.
except Azula.
And Clinton got tough, so...
Azula was the most incredible couple in the entire world. Most powerful
most...
ever!
Okay, next, Jake.
Eric writes, what will happen to Zuko when his dad finds out that the Avatar is alive? Will he spring Iroh out of jail? Not that Iroh can't get himself out of jail. Or will he chase after his mother by himself? Or will he beat his dad in an Agni Kai? Thanks for keeping the podcast up every week after each episode.
And okay. Well,
he better bring Iroh out of jail.
Yeah, well, for this, I don't know, I've always... I still think Zuko's going to be gone from the capital by the time that the invasion starts, so... I don't think he'll be there when his dad finds out, so I just don't think any of those are valid. That's an interesting point, about breaking Iroh out of jail. I never thought about that, really.
He better.
I don't
know. I think Iroh might break himself out with, or...
Yeah, Zuko breaking him out just doesn't sound like it fits.
Yeah, or the White Lotus.
Yeah.
I think in, like, 1-312, maybe, around there.
Of course, love Iroh breaking himself out of jail. That's going to be very interesting to watch. Granted,
yeah.
I'll cover my eyes, but...
that would be awesome, yeah. I kind of look at that now. Okay. So, yeah, Katara120 writes, and I edited most of this email out. I don't really remember why, though.
That's good.
Because either it was rude or it was repetitive. But he writes, firstly, this is more of a complaint than a comment. Now I've been listening to the last few podcasts, and each time you downgrade England and showing up to early nearly every single TV show episode and movie airs around 4 months are in UK and no, that's continuation. And when we get one thing before you the only reason you get those episodes early is because Americans posting the episodes on YouTube, so thank your own friends though. Yeah, I edited it because it was rude.
Wow.
I don't know what she's yelling at us for.
I never once insulted England. I love the UK, actually.
It was Nick UK.
It was
we were
Nick
mad
UK.
At.
I'm UK. Mad at Nick UK, and I'm mad at the fandom. And Yeah, you guys aren't supposed to get Avatar first. But, I mean, if you do, that's fine.
Wait,
like,
whoa,
for a couple
huh?
of them.
What? What do you mean? What do you mean you're not supposed to?
England, it's an American show, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's like, oh, we definitely should get it first every time. But it's an American show, so it's not like, oh, it's not fair that we don't get it. Because, you know, it's made in America. That's just how it goes. But, like, if it was an anime, I'd think the same thing about it being in Japan first. But, oh, good thing.
Yes.
Good thing it's not, but... it's
at
not every
we
single
don't
need- yeah, not every single TV show and movie airs for them. Not everyone. I mean, you guys have shows that are, I'm pretty sure that are originated in the UK and come here. Yeah, definitely like the Office, but
that was from the UK.
Yeah.
Wait, the Office, as in the Office.
It was a different version, but they redid it.
Oh, I was going to say, that's based
on...
Yeah.
If you're looking for a better example, look at it this way. Imagine new episodes of Doctor... Imagine new episodes of Doctor Who premiering here first.
Yeah, so...
Harvard of Doctor Who?
I don't know, it's just a different equation with something made in the UK premiering here first. The US is the bigger market, I guess, but... Really, it's... Don't downgrade England ever, and... Why would I thank people for putting stuff on YouTube and putting people in the position to watch stuff illegally? I'm never going to thank them for that. So, yeah.
Ooh.
That was completely weird email.
What if they're watching YouTube from the UK?
I think this isn't the first time we've gotten an email like this before, either.
What? No, I don't know. What if they're watching YouTube from what, Kevin?
I was just kidding. I said, what if they're watching YouTube from the UK? And I'm kidding. The greater issue is that it's illegal to be putting full episodes on YouTube.
Yeah, U.S. people watching in the UK.
Well, doesn't
matter
if
like three issues
you're not supposed
one,
to put copyrighted material like
yeah,
that up on YouTube.
Wow, that's so many. I don't even want to get that. But yeah. Viacom
yeah.
triple sue you then. Okay. Kevin, next.
Milkman writes, I absolutely loved your 18th podcast. I'm really liking the thoughts section you recently added because fans can get many different points of view about controversial things. The scripted
307.5, yeah, that's what I called the last one.
Okay. It was great, and I definitely think you should keep doing those. Just work a little on the voices, because sometimes they tend to sound like the same. I also really like Joe's opinions on Zuko. My question for this week, what is your theory for Iroh's escape? Also, just for fun, what is everyone's favorite episode of all time and why? P.S. When Hama said, you're a bloodbender to Katara, why didn't the Fire Nation people care?
Okay, very many thoughts there, because he tacked on the bloodbender thing in the later email, so I just added that on.
I can answer that last question.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's first start on the,
The last question, though, but why didn't Katara, you know, why do people wonder why she's saying you're blunt? That's called sloppy writing.
No, I disagree.
I'm kidding.
Burn.
The thoughts segment.
No. It was, yeah. You know, people wouldn't know what bloodbending is, number one, I would imagine. They wouldn't equate bloodbending, number one, to
like
waterbending. Plus, she's a crazy old lady, and you can write crazy old ladies off by saying stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
They didn't know that she was actually controlling people with water in their bodies, so... They were clueless, pretty much, and they just thought she was... Maybe they thought she was a witch or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's
fascinating. Totally makes me think of Monty Python.
She wants to save us a duck!
Yeah, so,
Python. Oh my god.
So yeah, the thought section. Different. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, hopefully, we get different points of view. That's kind of the point of it. It's just for bring up a thing and then debate it a little bit. Yeah, the voices did sound the same for 307.5. Definitely. I think we did a little better on that this time, but maybe not. It's kind of hard when two people voicing the same thing like Jake did. So whatever. And stop using the subject, please. And okay, Joe's opinions on Zuko last podcast were amazing. I don't know
that
where,
blew me away.
Where he came
yeah.
from?
Yeah.
That.
Oh yeah.
They unfortunately couldn't be here this one.
I wasn't listening to half of it, but
I think we've already been over Iroh's escape, so we'll skip that. But what's your favorite episode of all time and why? Yeah, we've done this a couple times, but my favorite, of course, Cave of Two Lovers still. Just, for me, it can't be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we need to go down the list on this, or?
City of Walls of Secrets, that one's my fave.
Yeah, City of Walls of Secrets is probably
really
in
good.
The top 10, definitely.
Yeah.
304, Sokka's Master, The Balance of Iroh,
oh
Sokka,
my god.
You just liked it because of
Sokka!
Taka.
It was the taco, wasn't it?
Taka. Just not really Taka,
yeah.
but just Sokka.
Taka.
That was
yeah.
best.
It was like.
I gotta go with Crossroads. Crossroads of Destiny.
That was pretty good. Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Gosh, Jake, steal mine.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Well,
Nightmares and Daydreams.
Really? I see. It's
funny.
It's 135, so I don't get that.
No, it wasn't a bad episode. That's just not, you know, if I'm trying to get somebody introduced to Avatar, I don't think that'd be the first one I show.
No, definitely.
It would be the first one I show them.
No way.
That's a frequent forum topic.
What would I?
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know. I like the Emmy nominated one too. It's too late. I can't think.
City of Walls
you just
and
said
Secrets.
City of Walls and Secrets.
Thank you. That's the one.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. Share the
yes.
same
I also like Irish Tale and Tales of Bossing Say an awful lot if I can pull.
Oh yeah,
yeah, if I can be part of it. Oh yeah, this brings us back to something that Martin and me and Jake and people were discussing on chat was that he was. I don't know. It was a weird basis, but he's like he said that episodes had to have like drama, humor, and
romance.
Yeah, drama, humor, romance to make like a complete episode, I guess. And you know that doesn't—it's not necessarily a criteria for a great episode, but it's just interesting to see which episodes are like widely spread. And I think the best one we could come up with was definitely "City of Walls and Secrets" because that definitely has it all there. In the episode.
Yeah,
one of the best there. That's the season one finale, of course, though. So just interesting to see what's widespread out through there. Okay.
Yep.
True.
Next.
Oh, is this me?
Yeah.
Yep. UDK writes, "Hey guys, I just want to say I like the podcast a lot, and I support the idea of dissing Joe segment, even though I think he would..." Yeah.
No, he wouldn't.
"I also like the scripted impromptu, but I think it needs to be more comedy-geared. Anyways, my question is, I think Avatar would be a lot better show if it wasn't aired on Nick. If it wasn't
Amen.
A different..."
Oh, God. Don't get me started. There you go. Actually, you will get me started. Keep going.
"Yeah. If it was aired on a different station, it would get better ratings because I doubt it would air on Fridays and they, the creators, wouldn't have to go by Nick's stupid restrictions. What do you think?"
Okay,
yeah,
first of all, no. We're
not... Joe would not win.
Joe wouldn't win, first of
no.
all.
No.
I defeated him in, like, AIM chat. So
I defeated.
That's,
we tied in real chat. Okay. But yeah, the I don't know the scripted impromptu being comedy geared. We're gonna do that a little bit towards December. But the point of making it scripted is so it's not all pointless random comedies all around.
Can we change the name, by the way, because scripted impromptu.
No, it's just. I love that it confuses you. That's why.
Scripted impromptu. What?
Okay. Now, okay. I hate when people say this. That Avatar would be better when it's not aired on Nick. First of all, the ratings would be worse on every other channel unless it was on cable. Because right now, as I've said last podcast, Nick is the most popular cable channel out there right now, whether you like it or not. Its ratings are at the highest it can be. I mean, it's a Friday night, so you don't know. But what other night are you going to put Avatar on it? I think the time slot... 8 o'clock might have been better. I mean, Back at the Barnyard is doing really well right now at 8 o'clock, so...
Yeah.
You know, maybe 8 o'clock, just move it up another half an hour again, but it's it the best place for ratings right now, the best channel, the best time and everything. It's not like it's going to get better ratings somewhere else. And I don't think they're being restricted that much. I don't know. That's just, I don't hear of it at all, except maybe one or two instances.
Just losing.
I mean, of course, yeah. Of course, it's on Nick, so they don't do certain things. Like, they're not going to show people getting killed. They're just going to, like, show, like... something they're not they're just showed indirectly and stuff like that, but I think that makes Avatar even better, the fact that it's not like over violent or anything like that or over sex jokes and stuff like that. I think it being a kid's show makes it really good in that fact.
To me, being on
another channel wouldn't be any better at all. I think it's perfect where it is.
I think it's good that they express dramatic things without the overdone bloody
like Naruto.
That's true. Yeah.
Hit on anything else, but
can do it. So
anyone think that it would be better if it was off Nick?
No.
Not that if it was off Nick, but Nick
it wouldn't
maybe
exist if it wasn't for Nick.
Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They.
Yeah.
What other channel are they gonna pitch it to, really? Cartoon Network doesn't do shows like this, and. There's no other channel. I mean, it's definitely not going to Disney, and you can't put it on the cable network. You can't put it on the... Oh, God, I forgot. How did I forget that? The regular networks. The non-cable networks, so, you know...
Networks?
I don't know. Nick is its place. Nick is its home, and Nick's where it's staying. So yeah. Get over it. You've had many seasons to get over it. And it's staying on Nick, and it's the best place for it. Okay, next.
Elise writes, "Hello, everyone. I'd like to say I'm a big fan of your podcasts. I think they're great. Also, a good way for us non-U.S. residents to receive Avatar news, which, in my case, I was hoping you could help me with this one. In the information about the first and second volumes of the third book, I noticed that the only language coming in the DVD is English. But the first two seasons came with audio in English, Spanish, and French. Not that I have a problem understanding English, but does this mean that DVDs aren't coming out in other languages anymore? Or are there three audios coming out till the release of the complete Book 3 collection? I would really appreciate it if you could help me with this doubt."
Well, this is one that stumped me. I have no idea.
Neither do I.
I don't know. I've never bought the individual like 5-episode DVDs. So
I have one individual one.
Do those have three languages on it, or is
it was
just
the first season? So
oh, okay,
it did have three languages.
Do you have any of the DVDs, Kevin?
No, I only have the box sets. But from what I believe I heard, again, don't quote me on this. This isn't from my own sources. This is probably through fifth hand information. But I think I remember hearing something about. They were going to leave the dubs up to the people who were in the other countries distributing the episodes to be the ones to put them on the DVDs and distribute them. So in other words, you buy a DVD in France, then you would have the French dub already on the soundtrack, you know, the audio track. It wouldn't be one DVD release for all
regions. That's interesting, okay.
I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, that's. I guess that's.
I heard it from a guy.
Yeah, a lot
so
of that.
I don't know how reliable the telephone game is.
Yeah, so I don't know. That seems realistic, but I guess the options are that, or that they're doing the three languages thing. So I don't know. I could actually see the individual country releasing the dub on it, like five episode DVDs, and then them just doing the whole book collection three languages. I could probably see that happening.
I mean, I really don't see why. I mean, even in the American continent market, you have, you know, Canada to the north, you have French, and then you have, you know, South America, you know, Spanish. I don't know why they wouldn't want to include all language tracks on there, but who knows.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You might be. Sometimes when I've heard of these things happening in DVD, it's a region issue. They don't want people reselling copies that would be normally sold in the U.S. in other countries or other areas. So they kind of, you know, they do different things.
True.
With different DVD
yeah,
sets.
It's probably. It all goes back to how much money they can make, I guess, and how they're not losing as much money. So I don't know. I guess. Are we going to try to figure this out? We'll try to, I guess. Yeah.
I don't know the line personally.
Sure.
Yeah, if I find anything out on this, I'll say it in eventually podcast. Yeah, so Ruth, last one.
But of another reason why they might not be including foreign languages on there, it's a interesting thought here.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to interrupt. I'm sorry to go back to that. But, you know, when they do the dubs, foreign language dubs, they have to hire another cast to speak those lines. And that's a lot of money. You have to find someone who speaks, of course, the language, and then you hire a young kid to play Aang, old guy to play Iroh, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that costs money. If Avatar isn't actually making as much money anymore, it could be budgetary reasons that they're not financing foreign language dubs.
Hmm. Yeah, so they might leave it up to the countries to find those actors and hire them.
If they want to spend the money to do that,
maybe they're
not doing it here for the initial American release. They figure they're not going to spend the money on it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Okay.
Yeah, it does.
All right.
Yes.
Jem writes.
Okay, yeah, so in this email, I changed Jake's to Dylan's because the person writing thought that, like, the person speaking now is Jake. Yeah, Jake doesn't have all these cat-angy opinions. That's not him.
No way.
You gotta listen to the intros in the beginning.
All right. Hey, emailing from Michigan, and I gotta say I love Avatar. I found your podcast about a month ago, and I love it. The beginning is put together so well. I really love when you guys review the show and the impromptu segment. It's funny when you guys are good at what you do. But I have to say that I disagree with Dylan on some things.
Oh, thank you.
Zuko and the rest of the Fire Nation royal family aren't going to die. I mean, really. With the writers, wouldn't do that. Plus, in episode 306, The Avatar and the Fire Lord, the whole story was not about history repeating itself. It was about conflict within Zuko because both his grandfathers had a conflict, and so they passed it down to him. I guess not a lot of people got that. Anyway, your last podcast was good, but the whole take on bloodbending, I think it will come back to Katara will use it again, Probably to save someone she loves, or to defeat a strong enemy. But you know it won't happen, since Katara rocks and is already more powerful than a lot of the other characters. Lastly, I just have to say this. I love Zuko and am a Zootarian, but I still get Dylan's perspective on the whole thing. Oh, and I am a Joe fan.
Oh, God.
Yeah, first.
Oh, my word.
Joe fangirls don't exist.
So much wrong with that.
Have I explained yet that Joe has never gone out on more than two dates with one girl? Have I explained
that? We have this discussion on the podcast, or is this like...
Yes.
We've had that. Okay. Many things here.
Two things. First of all, Jim, I agree with you. I don't believe the royal family or Zuko are going to die.
Yeah, I was
going to
say that.
No, I don't agree with that at all. I don't believe that's going to happen at all either. The other thing about Katara, if she brings bloodbending, well, I really hope they have a callback and she has a reason to use bloodbending even though she doesn't want to by the end of the series, or that makes that episode total filler.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I'll start from the beginning here, but, the only reason I said it last podcast that everyone was going to die is because, you know, I can see each individual character dying. They're not all going to die at once. That's not going to happen, but, you know, I can see Zuko... I could see Zuko dying, or Azula dying, or Iroh dying. They're not, probably not two of them are going to die at once, though, so I don't know. I still don't know what I think about the finale with the Royal Fire Nation Royal Family yet. We'll see. And the writers actually would do that, but that's not the point. And okay, yeah, so 306.
You were saying?
No, I... See, I don't know. It was about the conflict within Zuko, obviously, but both his grandfathers had a conflict. Yeah, that's kind of the very general premise, I guess, but I don't know. We were trying to go a little more specific into that, and I'm just having a hard time drawing a really specific conclusion from the episode. Maybe that's why I'm just not rating it as high as I should, but whatever. So, yeah, I definitely think Katara is gonna use it again. Oh, here's the point I wanted to make, is that they assigned this episode to Tim Hedrick. They assigned 308 to Tim, and Tim usually does important episodes, as we know. And Tim is going to write the Western Air Temple, and that's an important episode after the invasion. It's like a post-invasion episode. So Tim does the important episodes, so I would be surprised if they don't bring back bloodbending because they had Tim develop that whole thing.
Oh, wait.
So I really don't...
Last podcast you said you didn't think they were going to bring it back.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I remember that.
It's 12 a.m. I can change... See, I don't know when they'll bring it back. I just think they will, I guess. I don't know. It's not that I think they will... I'm undecided. I think that they're going to, though, because of who wrote the episode, now that I thought about that. And, yeah, she's not going to use it to defeat an enemy. That's not going to happen. She's going to use it to save Aang, if anything. I mean, or maybe Sokka, actually, if they develop their brother-sister relationship more, but I doubt it. Ooh!
Not only are you switching your opinions, but you're stealing my ideas, too.
No, I just thought of something tough. That would be a good conclusion to the Toph Katara storyline if Toph was in trouble and Katara saved her.
Ooh,
that would make Runaway have a purpose.
I like that.
Both.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But Toph usually would be able to defend herself. So I don't know. Maybe if they're on a surface where she couldn't
maybe
see on.
I like that episode actually.
What?
Yeah.
At least it advanced the Combustion Man storyline a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know why I hate
it. Was a good episode. Oh
I
God.
Completely disagree. Okay, so
all right, do the email.
Yeah, so you can see exactly. This is you can be a Zootarian and still get the Ketting thing, because you can be Zootarian and Ketting at the same time, despite the reaction, because you can be Zootarian fanon, and then you can like what's going on in the show canon with Ketting. It's not that hard, actually. It's what Zootarian should be doing right now.
It's what Dylan really is.
Oh, of course. I'm definitely a... and as I said, don't be a Joe fangirl. So, Melanie knows from experience. Not
what? What?
Nothing? Okay, huh? So let's close...
What?
I didn't say anything. Okay, let's close things out. Thank you. Okay, that's all for this week's podcast. Send us questions at podcast@dongwufang.net. Send us your avatar questions for the mailbag segment. And we still need more email mailbag questions, yeah. Oh, okay. So here's the future schedule for the podcast. Next week we are going to be off because it's Thanksgiving. And yeah, and it would be kind of hard to make a podcast then. And then we're going to be back on November 30th, probably be out November 31st, with pure invasion discussion. Nothing but invasion, because we're just going to talk like an hour about the invasion and everything. No mailbag, no Avatar news, so...
You realize there are 30 days in November?
Wow.
No. Oh, you're right. Okay. Wow, I always thought... Okay. I should see one of my four calendars around my wall, but yeah. I'm just, it's 1:54, okay?
1:55.
Gosh, my clock's right with that. It's actually 1:53 according to Colorado time that hooks up to a satellite.
Are we in Colorado time?
No,
wait,
actually,
where's my
cell? Okay, so... Yeah, so the mailbag questions you send in from now on, I'm not going to be answering until, like, December 7th. And we might take a podcast off December 7th, I think, and then come back the 14th, but we'll see about that. I'm thinking we need to do the 7th. That's December 7th one. So, yeah, in December, there are not going to be any new episodes in December, so we'll just be talking about awesome stuff. Like, I don't know. I really want to bring back spiritual versus genetics so badly, but I kind of need a purpose, too. So, yeah, we don't... Because the reason we did it a second time was because the ASN interview with the creators came out, like, right after we had the first segment, so whatever. We'll figure out what we're going to do then. We're going to have some crazy scripted impromptus there, though. I don't even know how that's going to work. Probably won't work. So don't expect that. Oh yeah, guys. We're going to start guest hosts. I've decided this. So basically, if you want to be a host on the podcast, I'm not going to make you a long-term host right away without knowing you. So send me an email, podcast@dongwufang.net, and have the 4 weeks in December, December 7th, and all our recordings are like Friday, 12 a.m., unless I say otherwise. So send me an email if you want to come on. December 7th, 12 a.m., December 14th, 7 a.m., December 21st, 7 a.m., and December 28th, 7 a.m. And say if you can make or not make each of those. And tell me where I might know you from and stuff like that. And just explain why you should be on and stuff like that. And include your first name and your Skype screen name. You need to get a Skype name. So yeah, this was a weird announcement.
I don't explain how to get... Skype, don't.
Skype.com and download it. So yeah, this is a weird thing to be having in the closing, but I just, yeah, we should probably be having guest hosts on. So send me the info and just go rewind it a little bit and force. Oh, I'm trying. I'm trying that.
You won't come on though.
Yeah, well, I want to try to have Martin on too. And Maurice, I want to have Maurice on. He'd be so good. Dang it.
I was going to ask you why he's not been on, but
yeah, today he had something to do tomorrow, so he couldn't be on tonight. Okay. So, yeah, that's it. Credits, I've been your main host, co-hosts have been Abby, Jake, Kevin, Melanie, Stephanie, and Ruth. And, yeah, technical director is AJ Kevin, musical remix is by Luke Tripp. I edited this podcast, and Dong Wufang is owned by Jake. Any last comments?
Avatar sheep rocks!
Really
woo!
The sheep were really awesome and amazing.
The sheep were the best part.
The sheep, I'm so gonna, like, find a... Like, stuff.
Okay.
The Charlie the Unicorn thing.
No. Okay, edit.
Killer.
Charlie the Unicorn!
No! Okay, let's do unison bye. One, two, three. Bye!
Bye.